slanted to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 8th of August. It's me, Richie T, and we got Lindsay.
Throw your hands in the air.
You have to really punch it up in order for it to be funny.
Throw your hands in the air.
No more of the air. Like, you have to really mangle air.
Throw your hands in the air.
There it is.
All right.
Perfect. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank me for being here.
I want to look at your shirt real quick.
Okay.
Is that your lunch or
yes.
Is that your child's?
Do you know what? I wish so badly I could blame this stain on my shirt. Two different stains mm-hmm. on my child, but those are solely me.
Yeah.
It's
like a bloody nose.
Nope. I think... I don't even know what they are. I know what this one is. That one's sushi. I was eating sushi and dropped a piece.
A little bit of eel sauce.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Shirt.
Uh-huh, yeah. I don't know what the other one is. The other one could be from the child, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize it when I put this shirt on that it was dirty. Sure. And then once I dropped the second piece and spilled the second piece on my shirt, I realized the first stain. Yeah, the first stain was already there.
It doesn't matter,
except for the fact that I come into this radio station and there's like bands here and people are nicely dressed and looking all hip and chic, and I come in like raggy cutoff shorts and knee-length cutoff shorts and dirty t-shirt, and I just feel like this is my life right now.
Well, hopefully me with my shaggy hair and terrible cargo shorts make you feel better.
Yeah, your homelessness makes me feel a little bit better. Yeah,
I prefer
homeliness. Sorry.
I prefer to call it unmade bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has a very unmade bed style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like and people will be like disheveled. No.
No.
Yeah,
no.
He looks homeless. No.
Yeah.
Homeless.
Yeah.
He looks like an unmade bed. Perfect.
There it is.
There it is, right there.
Well, my style is called hot mess mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just call it hot mom.
Nope, that's not what it is, though. No, it's never that. It's mess mom would be more appropriate than hot mess mom. I mean,
mildly lukewarm.
It's like bathwater hot bathwater mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like warm enough that you're not going to freeze.
Right.
But
not fully hot. No. Lukewarm.
No level of hotness in that water.
No.
It would have been the baby.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we're getting to that point where you don't get to say it's a baby anymore.
Oh, yeah, and I can't call myself a new mom anymore.
No, new mom is old.
New mom is old.
18 months and younger is new mom.
Yeah, because we argued about this a while ago, and I told you up until a year I get to call myself a new mom.
Right.
And I get to blame things on that, like I'm a hot mess because I'm a new mom.
Right, and I extended it to 18 months, but now she's...
She'll be 2 in October,
right.
So we're at 22 months almost.
And then she's not a baby anymore.
She's not. She's a full-on toddler.
Right.
But you know what? Screw you. I'm going to call myself whatever I feel like to survive because I feel like I still am a hot mess, and I still feel new at this, and I still feel like I have no idea what I'm doing.
Then you start to feel like a pro.
No. I just went to therapy this morning about that very thing,
yeah,
so give me some time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's that. There's a lot of pressure to have more kids.
And what did the therapist say?
I don't actually. No, I know you don't. I got a lot going on though in this old head of mine.
Listen,
yeah,
I get it.
I know.
Do you sometimes? I feel like the only peace I ever have is when I sit by a river and the river is louder than my head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is every bit of my life.
Mm-hmm. Mine comes actually when I'm working, when my brain is fully engaged, it doesn't have time to be anxious because it's writing the news and reading and stressing about that. So all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I haven't felt anxiety in a little while. I haven't felt that elephant sitting on my chest in a minute. That's cool.
It had left me, speaking of that, like elephant on your chest, it had left me. So I was super anxious about 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Hadn't experienced it again. Last two nights, like sweaty, waking up in the middle.
Like panic.
And I don't know what it is. Nothing's changed in the last 2 days.
That's when it's the hardest. That's kind of what I was dealing with this morning with my therapist, is no major events have happened. No, complete overhaul, like having a baby, you know, where you can attribute it to something. But I think that's when it's the hardest, because a lot of times things creep in there and the what ifs attach to things, and you worry about them, and you didn't even realize you were worried about them until they all pile up on each other, and then you're like, but I'm so overwhelmed, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in that same boat where I think thinking about having another kid has overwhelmed me a lot because my experience having a child was traumatic.
Yeah.
And it's hard to admit that when everyone else around you is saying, I love motherhood. It's so great. I love everything about it. You know, and you feel that pressure. Guilt. Yeah. Guilt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I give you the absolutely wrong way to deal with it?
Yeah.
Have you prayed about it?
No.
Because I think you'll be just fine.
And I think, like, this is what, this is the advice I'd probably get from people that are close to me in my life. Are you living right? Are you living right? Because
I hope that's not really the case. And I'm not downplaying the importance of prayer, because I think that it is.
Right.
And I think that if you're really thinking about doing it, obviously, it would be like, hey, checking in, God, what do we think about this?
Right.
I'm sort of thinking this. What do you think?
Right.
Give me some feedback here. But when it becomes a thing where it's just like, it's probably a question of your faith.
Yeah, it's probably because you're not praying enough or reading enough or going to church enough or fulfilling your calling enough
or paying.
Yeah. Stop it. Right. Stop it. That is not why it exists. Okay.
Sometimes it's just anxiety.
Right.
Sometimes that's all it is.
And prayer can help you feel better.
Yeah.
Prayer can bring you some temporary relief, but it doesn't solve it.
Yeah. It can help you bring people to your life that will help solve it.
Absolutely.
I am a fan of prayer, not what I was saying.
Yes. And I agree. But I'm a fan of prayer as an additional coping skill,
right.
Not a fix.
Correct.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Oh, what else is new in my life? So I'm having another kid. Panic attack.
Ah! Like you guys can't see it, but she's sweating.
I'm sweating profusely. Seriously. There's not a lot new in my life. Yeah. So I've been working over at KSL, the Lord's radio station. And that's what happens when you live right in your life. You get jobs like at KSL.
Yeah.
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 No, I feel so grateful to work for that company. They're a really great company. And, I feel very validated that they trust me with their brand.
Yeah.
And their news and their,
but let me ask you this. Have you arrived to the point that you get to do a special for the General Conference weekend?
Are
you involved at all in General Conference weekend?
As of right now, not that I know of.
So you're not there yet.
But last...
I don't want to humble you. I don't want to knock you down. But you know that they really trust you if you're a part of General Conference weekend.
Last General Conference in April, I was part of an episode that aired on Mormon women and the quest for perfection. Mm-hmm. So I was part of that. Also, my mom show airs Sundays at noon. So maybe they'll think of me when they're thinking about that slot.
Good.
And they'll
Great
say,
good.
Okay, maybe Lindsay could do something on this. So we'll see.
I hope it happens for you.
Mm.
You know that's how you know you've arrived.
Yeah.
You get a part. Because that's Super Bowl weekend.
Totally.
The radio station.
Oh, totally. That's like hands down the biggest weekend of their year.
We trust
twice.
You within a certain time.
Right?
Twice a year.
No, I feel like that.
I hope you don't feel the anxiety and pressure. Just
my chest is so heavy right now. I don't even have a mom show put together for this week yet.
You don't?
Well, I got it on my brain, but I haven't put it together.
Oh, geez.
Stop it. No, I think we're going to talk about why moms don't talk about the hard stuff.
What? I feel like they do.
We're getting there.
That's all I see anymore on social media.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll comment on it. And I'm like, but like you chose to be a mom and you like it though, right? Is the comment I make on a lot of people.
But see, even a comment like that is frustrating because there's a lot of guilt already associated when you have feelings of like, yes, I love my child, but I don't like all of this.
Right.
And when people make comments like that, it adds to that. I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Well, I also say things like, you shouldn't be feeling this way.
Yeah. You say a lot of crap that people could probably do without.
Yeah. No, I definitely am the inciting one.
Oh, sure.
On Facebook posts where it's like, you know, the vague things, and I'm like, what? Oh my gosh, what happened?
Sure.
Are you okay? Oh my gosh, I would just die.
You're just a big jerk.
I can't even. That's my favorite. I can't even.
I couldn't even handle what you're going through right now. I couldn't.
I literally can't even.
That's your go-to.
Yep.
Yep.
How's your husband?
He's good. Okay. He's good. Yeah. I was going to enter him in that only because you guys tell me to, that Hot Hubby contest, yes. One of our counterpart radio stations is doing.
Yes.
But I didn't. No, so someone tagged me in their post and told me to do that.
Well, he's a Hot Hubby.
Yeah. He's so good. I thought he could win, but they've already run it and it's down to the final five. So I need to get on there.
Anyway, because you work for the radio station.
Not that radio station.
It's the same. You couldn't do it.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not the same thing.
Read the rules. I can't win on any of your radio stations either.
You can't win on any radio station outside of Broadway Media.
Salt Lake.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Read the rules. If they want to be jerks about it, you can't win anything in the metro.
Okay, so do their rules just say we subscribe to this belief that we have the right to decide who wins?
I promise you. It's just a known thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, you just learned.
Okay, well,
you work in the media.
You can't
win any sort of media sponsored thing if they wanted to. Now, if they don't know about it, that's obviously one thing. And if they don't care to make a big deal out of it, like if he was truly hot and you had nothing to do with like the winning thing, like it's not like a banquet where it's like, oh, cool, we're highlighting this.
So the issue is that it could be perceived that I got inside treatment on the contest. I understand your point, but I have yet to working at any radio station here in the Salt Lake Valley, have anyone say, remember the contest rules, this is part of it. You know what I mean? They say you can only win once every 30 days and you and your spouse can only win once every 30 days. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Right. I never heard that.
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
All right, prove it.
I've got a great story for you.
Please tell me what's new in your world.
I went to start my car yesterday.
Yeah?
Nope.
Oh, welcome to being an adult.
Right? Well, that's happened before. And I thought, well, my car is a 2013. Surely it's not it's the battery.
Oh, shoot.
So I got the jump, went to the AutoZone, which is my favorite store because if ever I want to feel like I am not a man at all, I go to the auto parts store.
Mm.
Because it's like, hey, guys that know this thing, I go in like a kid that's 5 years old with a handful of change. So, I got this many monies. What does my monies buy me? What I feel like when I go to the auto parts store.
You're like me going to buy a new car.
Yeah.
They spot me from a mile away. Yes. Yeah.
And they go, yep.
Yep. She's the one we want.
So I go in and I'm like, I think it's a battery. Had to jump it. Got here. Can you come test it? And he comes out and he tests it and he's like, yep, battery's dead. I assume it was. I don't know why you would lie to me, but I was like, all right, well. And he's like, well, let's see what batteries we can get you. Goes back in. Well, there's one battery. $180. I was like,
no.
All right, cool. And I said, here's the deal. I'll pay $190 if you'll put it in for me because it'll take you 4 minutes and it'll take me 40 and I just would rather pay you to do it. And he goes, you know what? Tell you what. I'll do it for you for free. So he comes out. Steven was his name.
Oh, Steve.
Comes out, and he did it in what would have literally taken me probably a half an hour. He's like, he's got the right tools, and I would have just been like, is this a Phillips or a flathead? Anybody know?
Right.
I'm not sure what this part.
Do I need this wire with the plus on it?
Right.
Does this matter?
I electrocuted myself.
Yeah.
Like if I would have made it as far as the battery even,
right.
I would have electrocuted myself. So then, recently in my car, it's been so hot here in the state of Utah. It's been like, we had like 900 plus degree days.
Mm-hmm.
Just been sweating. I swear my car smells just like sweat.
Mm.
Right?
It's appetizing.
Part of that is because I work out and then I get in my car.
Mm.
But then the other part of it is like I'd get in my car. My air conditioning wasn't working very well. And so I'd crank it up and it just wasn't keeping me cool at all. I was like, this is ridiculous. What's the deal? So, because I was sort of feeling empowered because I got myself to the auto parts store and I got a new battery, I was like, you know what I know how to do? I know how to change the air filter in my car, which is like, next to putting gas in your car is like the thing that a person can do.
Sure.
I still have someone do my windshield wipers for me because
mm-hmm.
I'm inevitably going to like put it the wrong way, turn the windshield wiper on, and just make a big cut streak across my, anyway.
Yep.
So I was like, I can change an air filter. So I went and I bought the air filter. And I said, you know what? I should change the cabin air filter in my car. in the newer cars, there's an air filter for the air that goes into your car, not just the one that goes into your engine.
Sure.
So I get it out, and it's black. And I was like, okay, well. So change it out like a boss. Turn my air conditioner on. It's like four times as powerful as it was before.
And is it colder?
Yeah, and way colder.
Nice.
I feel like an idiot because I've been driving around the hot days of summer because I didn't change the filter in my car.
That makes you an idiot.
Right, but yeah. Long road trip of sweating. You can see it in the seat of my car because I have light seats.
Ew, gross. How did you not think through that? You, with a 2013, like, I wouldn't think anything would fall, like,
be... I didn't think so either, but I didn't think that a filter could have that much effect on it.
Mm.
But like a man, I changed it out.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
You're feeling very empowered today.
I'm so empowered today, I decided not to comb my hair.
Yeah.
Take a picture to share it. It looks terrible today.
Maybe we should take a picture of how we both look today. Yeah.
We are one lukewarm mess.
Right? Document this.
And then I'm trying to think if there was anything else that would be significant to share. No, I don't think so.
Nothing of significance in your world?
No, I went to Cedar City again over the weekend.
Yeah?
Saw two plays down at the Utah Shakespearean Festival.
Fun. A lady in my ward paints all their sets.
Really?
Oh, maybe it's at Tuacon.
Probably.
One of those ones down there.
Probably Tuacon.
She's super talented.
I think the other one lives down in Cedar City.
So. Okay, yeah.
But I went and saw Julius Caesar.
Fun.
And their brand new theater down at the Utah Shakespearean Festival. And here's the thing that's cool about that. Like, they're still getting used to how kind of small the theater is and the intimate setting of it all. Blood got on the audience from when they stabbed Julius Caesar.
Oh, so you mean corn syrup and red dye?
Yeah,
or,
like cherry Kool-Aid.
Oh.
But blood.
Whoa.
Blood on the audience. Wasn't intentional.
That's kind of crazy.
And then I saw The Three Musketeers, which was... When you hear The Three Musketeers, I'd never seen it before. I think it's going to be stuffy and, you know, kind of that old English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hilarious.
Cool.
Very funny.
Do you have aspirations to be in plays down there?
It's sort of hard because I couldn't have the job that I do. Like, people that perform at the Utah Shakespearean Festival are professional actors.
Yeah.
From there to, like, Milwaukee Rep Theater to Chicago to, you know, San Diego.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't have aspirations to be that level of an actor. So
right.
It'd be fun to be in a show down there, but the commitment to the craft.
Excuse you.
The commitment to the craft, I'm not there yet.
Sure. Okay.
Maybe one day.
Maybe someday your dreams will take you there.
I hope so. May all your wildest dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's anything else that I need to get to. There was an email that someone sent me that said, "Hey, I'm having a hard time subscribing to the Cultural Hall."
Mm.
And I don't know any other way, but you can just go to Google Play or the iTunes Store, and you just click subscribe. So if you're listening to this and you're like, "Oh, man, it's Tuesday, and they normally come out on Monday. Why did it take so long? Why didn't I get it automatically?" If you subscribe, then it's automatically in your podcast inbox, and then you don't have to worry about it. While you're there, leave us a little note. Give us a review.
A rating.
A rating, if you will. Let us know what you think. Let's take a break and come back in the second half and do actual articles of news.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. You know, I get a lot of emails with questions from customers, and here's one. "Dear Dan, I love to do business at your stores, but I have a lot of Apple and PC stuff. It's too bad because I like doing business with local people. I wish there was a way to make all of my gadgets work together." Signed, Scattered. Dear Scattered, Windows, Mac, Android, we can make all of them sync up for you. Your phone, tablet, and PC, they'll all be one big, happy, diverse family. So Scattered, bring in all your Apple and PC stuff. Now that's comfort and peace of mind. Get a brand new PC laptop's desktop for just $799 with a lifetime parts and labor warranty at any PC laptop's location while supplies last. $799, you can't beat that deal. Please visit any one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second half of the Cultural Hall and Articles of News for the week of the 8th of August. Let's go ahead and do some Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And let's start with what you mentioned. I think that's a great, heavy subject.
Yeah.
Right into it.
Let's just bring down the house real quick.
It's not bringing it down. It's opening it up for discussion.
Yeah, this is a very controversial issue, and it has to do with BYU. Is, you know, in an independent football conference right now.
Yes.
And they're trying to get into the Big 12 conference.
Right.
And yesterday it came down that about 25 LGBT groups kind of got together and wrote a letter to the commissioner of the Big 12 conference saying, we don't want BYU to be in your conference because they are discriminatory against LGBT students and faculty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I understand it.
Right.
So
the reason why BYU is independent right now, meaning that they don't belong to a football conference.
Right.
So there isn't any independent football conference championship, and there aren't, with being independent, it's a little bit harder for them, and they've done a pretty good job about being able to get contracts and games with other people.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't know, football, college football, is a business.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in those big conferences.
Yeah. You'd ideally like to be like, it's a great opportunity for people to have their college paid for and be able to, you know, be athletic. But really what it is it's millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So belonging to the Big 12 would mean for BYU a considerable amount of money. So that's kind of, you know, why they would want to be a part of it. Plus, it puts them in better recruiting categories,
mm-hmm.
able to get better players if you're part of a bigger conference.
Mm-hmm.
People want to play for your team. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it all.
Yeah, so the group that put this letter together is called Athlete Ally, and they, you know, fight for LGBT, to reduce homophobia with
sure.
LGBT students. And so that's kind of their point. I was in the newsroom yesterday when this was kind of all breaking down, and we got an interview with the executive director of the Athlete Ally, who basically said, because of BYU's honor code, you know, someone's open homosexuality would not be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And his point being that, yes, you make a lot of money as a school when you're involved in these conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't feel like BYU should be in this conference because they'll get all these benefits when they're discriminatory
right.
against LGBT
folks.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What I don't understand is, he kind of makes it sound, he being this director of this group that organized this letter, he makes it sound like we're going to, like, spit on people when they come to our stadium. You know what I mean? Like, he makes it feel like we are going to treat them poorly, and that's why he doesn't want BYU in this conference, is because he doesn't want people to go to BYU and be treated, like, have homophobia perpetuated.
Or be treated any differently
yeah.
than anybody else.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that point. I don't think that happens. I mean, I'd like to believe it doesn't happen, I guess.
Probably does, though.
Maybe.
I would think it probably happens most schools.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a more extreme case at BYU.
Yeah. And the other aspect is that I think this is maybe a religious liberty point, but, you know, like, schools have the right to believe what they believe and set the standard.
Private school,
yeah. To set the standard for what they want to what they want their honor code to be. And BYU is very clear about their honor code. They've said it. People have to sign the waiver, you know, saying, yes, I will agree to this. And that's just something that the students choose to live by when they go there.
Yeah.
And so it's not like we're forcing anyone to go there against their will.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They
yeah.
they choose this.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I think it's advantageous for the school, though, and for the population of Mormon folks in general to have something like this be brought up,
mm-hmm.
because I think it makes the school take a second look or a third look or a fourth look or whatever it is.
Sure.
At how they treat people, or even how they're perceived that they treat people
yeah.
of LGBT or of any group.
Yeah. It can be an opportunity for
yeah,
the school to
be more accepting,
yeah.
certainly more loving if you have these groups of people that are feeling like that's the thing.
Yeah, so this group is arguing that BYU perpetuates homophobia and they don't want them to get the benefits of being in the Big 12
yeah.
because of that fact.
It'll happen.
You think BYU will still?
BYU will. I don't know that it will be the Big 12 specifically, but they'll go to a big... a big conference.
Yeah. And the organizer of this group also said, you know, he understands the money aspect, you know, conferences allow schools into their conference, not just based on values, but that's what he's hoping is that the Big 12 will be like, you know what, we have these values too. We want everyone to be able to participate, yeah. whatever, and we're going to support that, but that hasn't happened yet. And who knows what will happen, but it's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have feedback, you can always email us, contact@theculturalhall.com, or if you just go to theculturalhall.com, there is a tab there that says contact. You can send us an email that way, and then we can share that with you. It's the Olympics.
Yay!
Olympics. You're watching a ton.
I love the Olympics. I love them. I love the unity. I love the Team USA spirit.
The people cry like babies on the podium.
I don't even care about that. I just love watching the sports.
I love that.
Yeah. I love a good story, though. Yeah, a good, like...
The finger wagging, that's been sort of fun.
Yeah.
From the American swimmer.
Uh-huh.
American female swimmer. I can't think of her name right now.
Oh, yeah. My husband was telling me about that drama this morning. Yeah.
And then you got your Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps mean face?
Yep.
Yeah. Ugh. That's me on a Tuesday, everybody. That's how I feel when I'm staying home with the child. That's me on a Tuesday.
There are some people, though, as you're watching it, or as you hear names mentioned, let me just mention this, a few of these quick. From the United States, these are Mormon folks that you should watch for in the Olympics. Jared Ward, who's part of the track and field.
He's got the mustache. His mustache is like all the rage, right?
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Yeah, he's an adjunct professor of statistics at BYU. He ran in for BYU and for Davis High School. He served a mission in Pennsylvania. And the men's marathon, which he'll be competing in, is on the 21st of August. John Nunn, who is a three-time Olympian from Bonsall, California, competes in the 50-kilometer race walking competition, according to the Team USA website. Nunn previously competed in the 2004 Olympics and the 2012 in the 50-kilometer race. He currently operates a gourmet cookie business with his daughter, Ella, and previously served an LDS mission in Las Vegas. In weightlifting, the lady weightlifters, Sarah Robles, is a California native who just turned 28. She was 7th in the London Games in 2012 and is competing in the 75-plus kilogram division. That takes place on the 14th of August. Volleyball, California native Taylor Sander is a 4-time All-American in volleyball and was the American Volleyball Coaches Association National Player of the Year in 2014. The 6'4 outside hitter played on BYU's volleyball team during college. This is his first Olympics, and the volleyball preliminary rounds take place the 7th through the 15th, and the quarterfinals the 17th, and on and on and on. Beach volleyball, Jake Gibb and Casey Patterson.
Mm-hmm. I've seen them play.
They do the beach volleyball. Gibb is 40, went to the University of Utah, the Almost Lords University.
Mm-hmm.
They finished 5th in 2008 and 2012.
I don't know how active those guys were. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, but I don't know if they would consider themselves...
They got the Mormon in them?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe they're still on record.
I don't know. Maybe they are.
Gymnastics, Michaela Skinner. 19-year-old from Gilbert, Arizona. She's an alternate on the gymnastics team. And then from New Zealand, Valerie Adams. 6'4", Valerie Adams of New Zealand is a reigning Olympic gold medalist in shot put, winning it in both 2008 and in 2012.
It's because she's living right.
She celebrated her wedding in the Hamilton, New Zealand temple earlier this year. 6'4", Valerie Adams.
Good for her. Yeah.
Killing it. And the woman's shot put is on the 12th of August. And then finally, from Botswana, Mormons from Botswana.
You know it.
Lydia Casey Jaley, or Haley, depending on how you pronounce it, will compete in the women's 400-meter race. She is the first woman in Botswana to qualify in an Olympic track event. That takes place on the 13th of August, semifinals on the 14th, and finals on the 15th. So keep an eye for those athletes in the Olympics.
Mormons in the Olympics.
What else you got?
All my stories are heavy.
What do you got? All my stories are light, so we
can... Really? Okay, we can just trade off. BYU is under federal investigation for how it handles sexual assault cases.
Why do you keep picking on BYU?
I'm not. It's not a personal opinion. These are just facts.
This is because you couldn't get in?
This is what's happening.
You couldn't get in?
I didn't get in, but I didn't want to get in.
Okay, so you didn't get in.
I didn't get in. That's right. I wouldn't have gone there even if I got in.
But you
trust
me. And didn't get in.
Trust me.
All right.
I'm not even going to argue this with you because it's just going to make me look like I really wanted to get in and
right.
I didn't.
No, I know. Come on. Let me bait you into this.
My life would be way different if I had gone to BYU. Yes. So the university learned on Thursday afternoon it's under investigation by the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights, according to the announcement posted Monday on the university's website. BYU cannot comment on the specific details of the complaint due to federal privacy restrictions, but a spokesperson for the church said the church does not have a separate statement, blah, blah, blah.
It's not the only college. There are several colleges that are being investigated, federally speaking.
Are there?
Yes.
Okay.
When I saw that, I went, bah! And then I read it, and it's, I think, over 100 other schools.
Well,
which doesn't make that okay.
No,
there are a lot of schools that could potentially be mishandling sexual assault cases.
Yeah,
but it's certainly not the singled out that maybe a headline would lead you to believe.
Right. Okay. And the fact that we did two BYU stories for like major things in our might lend you to believe we're picking on BYU, but we're not.
Sometimes, I mean, like the church. When people leave it, they can't leave it alone.
Mm.
Lindsay.
When I leave BYU?
Yeah,
is that...
You leave the thought of being able to attend BYU, couldn't leave the thought of leaving.
I'm telling you, dog. I'm telling you. I did not want to go to BYU.
Sure.
Do you know me at all?
No, listen. I'm sure that a Mormon from another state like Maine, being Roy's not around a bunch of Mormons, would absolutely not want the experience of going to BYU where she could be around a bunch of Mormon people.
Well, hence why I came to the motherland, but I didn't have to go to BYU to get that experience.
No, you don't.
I went to Utah State.
You had a great experience where you went.
I did.
No, you didn't have to go to BYU.
Do you know what's funny is both my husband and I had planned to go to BYU.
Sure.
We both didn't go to BYU.
Didn't get in.
And then we met.
Right.
So my life would be completely different if I'd gone to BYU.
No,
same with my husband's.
It would be completely different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd like it.
Yeah.
Well.
But you'll never know because you didn't get in.
Did you get in? Did you go?
No, I didn't even apply.
Oh, why not?
Because I was dumb in high school.
Because you're not as righteous as me?
Because I was dumb in high school.
Because you didn't want to be around?
I'm from the motherland. Give me away.
So you were dumb, meaning like you didn't have the grades for it?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, super dumb. No, I didn't even try.
Oh, well, that's probably the reason I didn't get in either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you tried.
Well, I tried because I tried at all the Utah schools.
Right. But that's the difference between you and I. I went where I got accepted that I applied.
Right. And I tried knowing I probably wouldn't get in.
But didn't.
Oh, my gosh. This is so annoying. Yeah, I want to punch you in the face.
Let's talk about your kid flying on a plane.
Okay.
No, we'll change the subject. Is there any sort of date on the...
Let's see.
Where the movement is on it? Because that's the only thing that I don't know about it. I know that they're working on it, but...
Since BYU University Police is also under investigation by the State Department of Public Safety's Bureau of investigation for possible violations related to sexual assault reporting and how the department accesses and disseminates information. Two other universities, Utah universities, University of Utah and Westminster, are also currently under national investigation. So that's part of that list you were talking about. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give any more information about when things are going to go down, but it does say, yeah, more than 200 colleges and universities across the nation under similar federal investigation.
Have you ever been to Mesa, Washington?
Nope.
You ever heard of Mesa, Washington?
Heard of the state. I haven't been to that Pacific Northwest.
Ever?
Oh, no Oregon, no.
That's why you
none of that.
You'd move.
Seriously.
You'd try and get in, but they wouldn't let you. About 650 miles northwest of Salt Lake is a little town called Mesa, Washington. It's just outside of the Tri-Cities, and in that town is the Empey Brothers Farms. The Empey family, originally from Idaho, where they raised cattle, but they moved to Mesa, Washington in 1961. And they got into an apple orchard. I'm going to abbreviate this just because I think it's... the story itself is sort of funny. Nolan Empey and his two brothers grew up on the farm, later left to serve missions for the church. Nolan served in the Netherlands, Kim served in the Philippines, and Lance served in England. When Nolan returned, he started his studies at BYU because he got in. He realized that he had an opportunity to go back Washington as a commercial apple grower and has been growing apples ever since. In 1977, Nolan started planting his orchards. He and his wife, started planting his orchards, and Jarl retired shortly after. Jarl, that being, I think, his dad. They served a mission. Let me get to the interesting part of this story. There was a bunch of wineries, etc., etc., so they decided to collaborate, and they now make, are you ready for this? Sheffield cider, and it's non-alcoholic cider up at this place up in Mesa, Washington. Their orchards are located along Sheffield Road, and so that's how they came to call it Sheffield cider.
Mm.
In their first press, they have Classic Sweet, which carries a traditional apple cider flavor. They've got the Vintage Dry, which uses apples from earlier in the season to produce a more tart flavor, and Apple Cherry, which is a personal favorite. You can find an article about them at theculturalhall.com, which we've linked to this. And you can get this delivered to your house. You want to try it?
Neato, yeah.
Sheffield cider.
So it's just cider. It's not a
non-alcoholic
or anything.
Sheffield cider made by Mormons, hand-picked. All the apples are hand-picked. Non-alcoholic cider. He says that the only difference between hard cider and non-alcoholic cider is age and fermentation. So their Sheffield cider is fresh, it's pressed fresh, pasteurized, and kept cold. All the apples are hand-picked. It can be stored in a dry, cool place for up to 2 years. If you want to get it sent to your house, you can go to sheffieldcider.com. And each 25.4-ounce bottle, so that's looking at your twice the soda can size, $8 to $14.
Oh, that's a pricey.
It's hand-picked.
That sounds delicious. Should we tell the story about how I drank alcohol the other day?
Oh, on accident?
Right. So, you know that drink, is it kombucha? Is that how you say it? It's like a probiotic. It's supposed to be really natural and healthy.
Yeah, it's got all the noogies at the top. That's what I noticed.
Yeah. So, a probiotic has like bacteria in it. It's supposed to help your gut, right? It kind of like cleans it out.
Doesn't it look like little seeds or something?
Yeah.
On top of it, right?
I don't know. Mine was at the bottom.
Okay.
But I know Joni Haas drinks it a lot.
Just Joni,
yeah. I was trying to remember her name, her given name.
Yeah.
So I drink this stuff because, one, I like the taste. It's very bubbly and refreshing.
Yeah.
And also, yes, I also, someone was telling me about fixing their gut health with a probiotic, and it helped their anxiety and depression. So I thought I would try some natural ways to do that.
Marijuana.
Yeah, that could, right? I'll try that at this point.
I'm so anxious.
I just want to feel.
I am not anxious.
I know. This stuff is great. So anyways, I get a bottle of this kombucha stuff. I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
Right.
But I take it home, and I'm enjoying it quite nicely. And then my husband takes a sip, and he's like, "This tastes like alcohol." And I'm like,
"Yeah, knows alcohol."
Well, he
slightest taste.
He doesn't, but he's never drank it before. But so not defending that to you. But he looked on the back and it says, I got to read you this word for word.
Well, I like this. Yeah, this was what you posted.
Yeah.
Get this to our Instagram so people can see it. Because I thought that this was not only sort of funny given the Mormon context of it, but interesting that the kombucha folks would do it.
Yeah, so this is what the back says. Please note, kombucha is a fermented tea that has naturally occurring alcohol. Do not consume if you're avoiding alcohol due to pregnancy, allergies, sensitivities, or religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And so I read that and I was like, oh crap, like that's me, right? So I don't know whether to be more concerned that it's tea or alcohol,
right?
Because I looked up online and like a lot of, I guess there are a lot of different flavors of this, and some of the flavors have more alcohol content than others.
Sure.
This one apparently had like 0.5%, which is as much as O'Doul's has, right? And then some have like 3%, which is more than some beers.
Yeah.
And so,
did you drink the rest of the
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel zero guilt about this because I feel like it's not alcohol. They're not brewing it to get you drunk.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not brewing it to...
Did you talk to the bishop about it?
No, I didn't, and I'm not going to. Probably, yeah.
Very slow, Brian.
Okay, you know what? So I feel fine about it because it's not alcohol.
Okay.
I mean, it has alcoholic tendencies. I actually like properties is what I meant to say. Alcoholic properties.
I have alcoholic tendencies.
I think I'm drunk right now.
I had a kombucha before we started recording.
But I'm wondering if it's more. I'm more concerned about it being tea than than. Alcohol.
The thing that's interesting about tea is that there's like tea where it's like black tea, which mm-hmm. is typically when we talk Word of Wisdom stuff.
Right.
We talked about this before. So black tea, then we go, not the black teas. You can't drink the black teas.
Right.
It's the Word of Wisdom tea.
Right.
But then it's like green tea. So is green tea that?
Right.
I had a bishop who said it's the black teas and then the green, all the other teas are fine.
Interesting.
That was a particular bishop, so don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
As you look further into teas, sometimes there are things that are labeled teas that don't actually have tea leaves in it.
Right.
It's a way to describe that drink.
Right.
Like it's, you know,
orange. It's brewed, right?
Orange
yeah.
peels and it's whatever, and it comes in a tea bag, but it's not tea. There's not tea leaves in it.
Right.
You have to look at it.
Okay.
And then decide for yourself whether that's important for you to obey the Word of Wisdom or not.
Yeah, I can understand why they put this warning on here,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to trick people.
Right.
Because it does have alcohol in it. I mean, would you drink an O'Doul's? It's kind of like the same thing.
I don't think that I would.
Okay.
O'Doul's is in the non-alcoholic, right?
Yeah, it's a non-alcoholic beer.
There was a stake president, like first counselor on my mission, who served us out O'Doul's. And my companion was like, yeah! And I was like,
Yeah.
It's not my jam.
Yeah. Is this a spirit of the law or letter of the law kind of question?
Well, you said you don't feel any sort of anything about it.
I don't really, because, I mean, but if we're looking at letter of the law, it has alcohol and
sure.
it's a tea.
Yeah, no letter of the law, you wouldn't drink it.
Right. But spirit of the law, I feel like it's not that bad. But then I go back to the whole, well, Joseph, like, because part of my justification would be, oh, it's healthy. It's good for you. And I'm like, well, Joseph Smith wouldn't drink alcohol and get his leg chopped off or whatever that story is, right? Like, so just because it's healthy for you.
That famous story, Joseph Smith wouldn't drink alcohol when he got his leg chopped.
Is that the story?
Very rough.
More or less.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That one. So yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be that person that is so particular about the rules that I won't drink this,
right.
Cuz I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking it. But then I'm kind of like, well, if I'm just going to obey, why don't I just do all things?
Right. And where I fall on that kind of stuff is I go, okay. Is this a thing that I can do without? Right? Cuz I sort of have some Like, everybody has their things, right? Their kind of their favorite sins or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that we're really going to get into this.
Oh, I could get into it.
Oh, I'll tell you. But, like, if there's something that I can just not do, then I just don't do it.
Right.
Like, I've never drank alcohol ever.
Yeah.
So I just don't.
I don't need it.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's just a thing that I go, am I tempted? And no, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know? I've never done drugs. But then there are other things where it's like, you know, when you talk about, like, church, like, I try and go to church all the time, even on vacation. And to me, I go, you know, sometimes I'm going to miss it. I'm going to have a flight that is in the air anytime that I could be at church.
Right.
Or I'm going to have to get somewhere and I can't do it. But as much as I can, am I trying to get to church on Sunday? You bet.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that means I'll go to church on vacation. And people are like, church on vacation? I'm like, yeah, because I feel like I can do that.
Right.
Or rated R movies, right? I'll not go to a rated R movie. Not because I really think that the church says no rated R movies, but because there's a lot of stuff in that, in rated R movies, that I go, yeah, you know what, probably I can do without.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have done without that for almost 17 years now.
Yeah.
So it's just an easy thing for me to be like, I just don't watch rated R movies.
See, I don't have that chip in me. I don't care about a lot of things like that. Should I? Am I supposed to?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I feel like I would drink this tea just because it doesn't bother me. It's not that big of a deal to me. My
problem is I'm not, what do you call it? Self-controlling.
Okay. So you start once and you'll just keep going.
Like, with me, it would be like, I also don't drink caffeine in beverages.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I used to drink caffeine in beverages and I would drink like 6 to 9 cans of soda a day.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole crux of the word of wisdom issue, right? Is it a health thing or is it the caffeine thing? Or because, like, people will be like, oh, you know, you won't drink a cup of black coffee, but you're morbidly obese or whatever. Right. Or you're
whatever the thing is.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that even further than just the doctrine of the word of wisdom, like, I think that if you talk to one of the apostles or even if your bishop, if you said, hey, listen, let's have a real serious conversation about this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a glass of wine,
mm-hmm.
do we really think that God's going to be like, you had a glass of wine,
right,
pal? No.
Didn't Jesus drink wine?
Sure. And
back in the day. Okay.
Fermentation.
All right.
Stuff, right? Wine was actually grape juice and all that stuff. But neither here nor there. It's a thing that teaches sort of moderation and abstention.
Sure. I like looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the perspective of, you know, I don't really need that. Yeah. Doesn't really do anything for me. But some people would be like, I need coffee. I need lots and lots of red meat. I don't know. You know, I just take issue when it's like, we look at people who, and I'm very much gross generalizing here, but we look at people who drink a cup of coffee or have a beer as the, just, I can't believe they would do that.
Right.
But yet we're drinking millions of gallons of Diet Coke every day. That's what I do. You know, I just have a hard time with that juxtaposition. You know, like, I don't care what you do. If it doesn't affect me, you do your thing and I'm going to do my thing. I think that's the issue I take with it.
Well, and I try and look at stuff like that and go, all right, you know what? I'm feeling that towards that thing. What do I do? Do I have a Diet Coke thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe I should not. Maybe I should work on me and be far less concerned about other people.
Yeah, exactly. Especially
and actually do something about it as opposed to be like, well, I can't stop drinking the Diet Coke. It's like, well, you know, maybe I will.
Right.
Or at least have it be a tolerable amount.
Or maybe cut back a can or two a day.
Like, I'm 200 pounds overweight. Maybe I'll only be 100 pounds overweight. Like, maybe I'll do that for myself.
Diet Coke is my sanity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my release.
Maybe running.
I hate exercising.
Yeah. Maybe you could run to BYU.
Hey, speaking of BYU, a BYU alumni is running for president.
I heard.
Did you see that? I got to find the story so I can quote you the information correctly. His name is David McMullen. He is the former chief policy director for the House Republican Conference in the U.S. House of Representatives and a former CIA agent. And he'll run as an independent.
He's gonna save America.
Right? Because neither Trump nor Clinton.
Or Gary Johnson.
Or Gary will do anything. He describes himself as a conservative alternative to the two major party candidates.
Handsome gentleman.
He's a strapping young lad. Sure.
Young.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all according to his Wikipedia page, which is an official source.
Yeah. Which is, neither here or really there.
Sure.
Okay. So let me think of what else I got that I want to get to.
We kind of went off on a word of wisdom tangent.
Yeah. No.
Sorry.
No. Yeah. Listen, it's important. Do you know who Bridger Weiniger is?
I don't.
You ever watch Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
You ever watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he is a writer.
Okay.
Who writes for The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And he used to be a Mormon person.
Oh, neato. He's got the Mormon in him?
Yeah, he's no longer a Mormon. But if people know him, he's fairly prolific on the internet, that being Twitter. So you might have heard his name before.
Neato.
He is a gay gentleman who was born and raised in Salt Lake, then moved to Los Angeles, and now is moving to the East Coast. There was a couple of things where he talks about the church that I was going to share here. Let me see if I can find it.
Let me ask you this while you're looking for that information. Are we going to talk about the Tyler Glenn situation? Or you save that for later?
Not yet, so
okay.
Maybe we can just
tease.
Yeah, preface it. I don't know. He says, the question was asked, what was it like to live in such a big city like L.A., moving from Utah, especially growing up Mormon and coming out as gay? He says, I knew L.A. was a little closer in lifestyle than what I was used to in Salt Lake, so making that transition wasn't so rough. When I first came to L.A., though, I lived with a couple and their baby. That wasn't necessarily... he says... Well, actually, it's not necessarily so Mormon-specific, but it is interesting how when he was working for Jimmy Kimmel, when he wanted to come out of the closet, that Jimmy said that he would fly here to Utah and talk to his Mormon family.
Oh, really?
For him, if that would help him.
That's hilarious.
So I thought that was kind of a funny thing.
Did they ever do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
So if you know Bridger Weiniger, or you like those shows, there's a former Mormon that does that.
Neato.
This is a leap, and I thought this was interesting. So there was... shooting up in Seattle. A 19-year-old man who shot and killed three people at a party in suburban Seattle with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. One of the people that was killed, and this is now about a week ago, one of the people that was killed in the party shooting was LDS.
Oh, sad.
Let me see if I can find. Let's see. Where's the guy's first name? Bowie of Everett, Jordan Ebner of Lake Stevens, and Jacob Long of Everett were killed. They were all 19 and recent graduates of Kamiak High School in Mukilteo, a waterfront city of 21,000 people. And the reason why I know that one of them was Mormon, the funeral services held at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mm.
Fun to
it's
work like that.
That's a pretty big giveaway, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we don't have the funerals for a lot of non-member.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article that you can find at theculturalhall.com that I always love these. The small town newspaper that does the article about the elders serving in the area. So this is by Donna Campbell, and it's in the Daily Leader, which is a small publication, but you can find it online. Like I said, the link at theculturalhall.com. And here we go. Joshua McDougall dug graves and sold his pickup truck so he could come to Brookhaven to share his faith. Brennan Corbin bagged groceries and put off college for the same reason. The two 20-year-olds are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who are in Brookhaven as part of their two-year mission, an act of volunteerism that is encouraged by the church for young single men and women. Total church membership in Mississippi, 21,770. Two LDS churches are located in Brookhaven. One on Mormon Church Road. That's the name of the road.
Really?
Mormon Church Road.
Awesome.
Mormon Church. I mean, there's one on Ingham Street, and then the other one's over on...
Mormon Church Road.
Mormon Church Road. Because Latter-day Saints believe families can be together after this life, they say it's essential to strengthen relationships with all family members, both those who are alive and those who have died. As missionaries, they share their faith with others so that families can be together in the next life. Currently, according to this article, there are about 74,079 full-time missionaries serving in the United States and abroad. Most are under the ages of 25. But you can see the handsome picture of these two gentlemen. And they're actually two pretty good-looking elders.
Sure.
I always like when they include the quotes that the elders say, right? So most of these guys have never been interviewed for a newspaper, because why would they before this serving a mission? McDougal, who works for his father, you know, the McDougal funeral homes here in the state of Utah.
Okay.
Said his parents didn't push him to volunteer for a mission. He's the youngest of five children and the only son, the third of his siblings, to go on a mission. It wasn't his original life plan. Quote, I thought I had life figured out, he said. I had the girl, the job, and the truck. But sitting on his tailgate one night, he thought about his family, which his faith tells him will be together in the next life. He says, quote, I decided to give up 2 years so that I could find a family to proselyte to and so that they could be together, he said. That's why he goes out every day through proselytizing. They hope to convert others to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And then his companion, quote, I can't not go and share what's helped me with other people, Corbin said. Quote, ultimately, God wants us to be happy, and the only way to be happy is by living the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. The two have been persecuted for their faith in various places they've served. Quote, a lot of hatred towards us, McDougal said. I've had a beer thrown at me.
And then I drank it.
And then I drank it, and I didn't feel bad.
And I did not, because it was just one time.
Says, but not everyone shows them hate, especially here in Brookhaven. Quote, people are very welcoming here, and this town has a special feeling about it. So it's pretty interesting. Goes over their schedule, and Corbin set to attend BYU here in the fall, and then gives a number where you can reach out to him if you want to be taught the gospel.
Neato. Did you see the story that KSL did about the proselyting cab driver? Okay, so there's a cab driver in Rio who just carries Book of Mormons in his trunk.
Really?
And he drives around Rio and he gives people Book of Mormons. And there's also a temple being built in Rio. Mm-hmm. And he'll stop at the temple site and, like, tell them all about it. And I thought that was a cool story.
They're like, yeah, I'm trying to get over to that part of town.
Like, no. But this will change your life.
No. Just a quick, I mean, it's an eternal stop.
And I think he goes over there and, like, talks to the construction workers and tells them about what they're building. And, yeah,
really?
Like, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was a cool story, yeah.
I've got this, 12 signs that you've been in a singles ward too long.
Oh, gosh.
12 signs you've been in the singles ward too long.
We were in the same singles ward, remember?
I remember.
When my husband was coming to our singles ward, too, when we were dating.
We weren't dating, you and your husband.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Number one, you realize you could have bought a small house or at least a car with all the money that you've spent on wedding gifts and baby showers in the last 6 months.
That's the thing.
Signs that you've been in the singles ward for too long.
Okay.
I love lists. Number two, your ward members have started referring to you as, quote, the ward encyclopedia. Number three, you feel responsible for making sure the YSA, that is young single adult, newbies, feel welcome. Number four, at least once a week, someone jokes with you about how the only way you'll leave the ward is if you graduate.
Oh, gosh. We're creating such a kind culture.
Number five, you've dated or are friends with someone who has dated every person of the opposite gender in the ward. Number six, you're pretty sure you've had every calling in the ward at least once. Number seven, signs that you've been in the singles ward too long.
Mm-hmm.
Even the state president knows you by name. Hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious.
My blood is boiling right now.
Number eight, the kid you used to babysit shows up to the new member meeting.
Wow.
Number nine, Everyone knows you, even if you've never met them before. These are 12 signs that you've been in the singles too long. Hilarity is about to ensue. Number 10, you can no longer fly under the radar for anything. Literally anything. Number 11, the bishopric's wives start planning your wedding whenever they see you talking to someone of the opposite gender. And number 12, signs that you've been in the singles ward for too long. You're the only one in the ward, including the bishop, who can name the last 6 Relief Society presidents.
Well, how do you feel about that list?
I just like lists.
No comment.
It's terrible. It was a terrible list, and that's why I issued it.
Okay, good.
Stephanie Meyer, you've heard of her, right?
Twilight, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vampires, werewolves, extraterrestrials. Oh my.
Is that the lead to the story?
Except for the oh my part.
No.
I put that.
Okay.
These are just some of the ingredients that have made LDS author Stephanie Meyer a millionaire and best-selling author with thousands of devoted fans. But Meyer is stepping out from her usual science fiction genre in her next book, called The Chemist. It was announced July 26th, an adult thriller that's set to be released on November 15th. The Chemist follows the story of an ex-agent on the run. On Stephanie Meyer's website, she gives the following book description, quote, "She, that is, the chemist, used to work for the U.S. government, but very few people ever knew that. An expert in her field, she was one of the darkest secrets of an agency, so clandestine, it doesn't even have a name."
Whoa. My neighbor works for one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Doesn't even have a name?
I'll tell you the story after you're done.
What?
Yeah.
When they decided that she was a liability, they came for her without warning. This is not the Bourne Identity in a book form. Nope. Now she rarely stays in the same place or uses the same name for long. They've killed the only other person that she trusted, but something she knows still poses a threat. They want her dead, and soon.
And the protagonist is a female.
Right? When her former handler offers her a way out, she realizes it's her only chance to erase the giant target on her back, but it means taking one last job from her ex-employers to her horror. How am I doing?
What? This is really riveting.
To her horror, the information that she acquires only makes her situation more dangerous. Resolving to meet the threat head-on, she prepares for the toughest fight of her life, but finds herself falling for a man who can only complicate her likelihood of survival as she sees her choices being rapidly whittled down. She must apply her unique talents in ways that she never dreamed of.
Sounds Mormon.
It's The Chemist.
This is how they teach you to talk in radio.
Yeah?
Is they read a news article in as many voices as you can.
Give it inflection. Do you have other stories, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I have a story about my clandestine neighbor. My neighbor who works for a service he can't tell us.
That you're not going to talk about? Or are you going to tell me now?
Oh, I'll tell you now.
Okay.
I have a new neighbor that just moved in.
Yes?
And my husband was asking him what he does, and he said, oh, I work for the federal government. And, you know, naturally a follow-up question might be, yeah, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm an analyst. You know, like he wouldn't say what the service was. So I think my neighbor's a spy.
Really? You think that's it?
No. Well, no. They
Does he really fit?
No.
Okay, so he's not a spy.
But he's not American.
Racist.
Okay. I was trying not to be racist with that statement. They just moved here from San Francisco, originally from Taiwan.
Okay.
And yeah, but he wouldn't.
Like shredded.
No. He's a young guy too. He's young buck. And they have a 3-month-old baby. But yeah, he wouldn't tell us.
He's a linguist?
Maybe.
I have a buddy who I know is a spy.
Okay.
Because I talked to him about it. And I'm like, are you a spy? He's like, I'm not.
But.
And I'm like, where have you been? He's like, I actually can't tell you.
Okay.
And I'm like, has it been nice? He's like, I really can't talk to you at all about.
He's like, Richie, I can't talk to you.
And I'm like, well, what do you do? And like he'll make references online. He actually listens to this, so I hope he knows that I'm talking.
Oh, okay.
He'll reference like that he's learned a new language.
Mm.
And I'll be like, French, huh? And he'll be like, yep. I just wanted to learn French. It's like, no, no,
no,
that's not true.
That's awesome. Do you just pick his brain every day?
Yeah, but he won't say anything.
That's awesome. I couldn't be one of those because I would blurt out all the secrets.
You'd
be like, guys, guess what? My husband had a friend who was in the military, is in the military, and he got assigned to like ride on a cargo plane. And basically the instructions were, if the plane flies over this country, mm-hmm. throw the package or detonate it or do something. Like, it was like that. Those are the instructions.
Really?
Like, if the plane deviates course, this is your job.
Hmm.
It's scary, huh?
Awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
Hmm. I want to share this. This is an op-ed from the Salt Lake Tribune. And we'll end on this. It's called, the headline of the op-ed is, "Belief in Sad Heaven Hurts Relationships in Era of Mormon Doubt."
I saw this, yeah.
I'll just read this whole thing and let you think about it. Maybe we'll talk about it the next time we do an article of the news. The ratio of American adults who are raised Mormon and still identified with the religion dropped from 70% to 64% in 7 years, according to the research from the Pew Foundation. While the downward trend isn't as steep as it is in many other U.S. religions, it doesn't bode well for the LDS Church, writes John Ogden, the writer of this op-ed. If this trend continues, one out of every two young Mormons today will no longer identify with their religion 2 decades from now. It's a real possibility. The policy change last November toward gays, lesbians, and their children drew protests and caused members to question their faith. At the same time, the Internet has opened access to troubling stories about church history, stirring doubts among even the most devout believers. We are, writes John Ogden, in the era of a Mormon doubt. This situation is heartbreaking for many believers when, excuse me, when loved ones leave, many believers might feel like they've lost common interests that once held their relationship together. That shift can be painful for anyone. But the declining retention often represents something more painful. Many Mormons believe that losing a loved one from the fold also means losing them in the eternities. It's a situation made real when Mormons visit the temple, often referred to as heaven on earth, and are reminded that their non-believing counterparts can't join them there. These members envision something tragic, a, quote, sad heaven, an afterlife where the faithful mourn those who, for whatever reason, didn't make the cut. The fear of sad heaven isn't limited to Mormonism. Dante envisioned that non-believers and heretics were entombed in the sixth circle of hell, leaving their loved ones in paradise to assumedly mourn their absence forever. And mainstream believers of just about every stripe still worry about sad heaven today. At first glance, the belief might seem harmless. Why does it matter what people think will happen in the afterlife? Isn't it just a simple difference of opinion? In reality, writes John Ogden, a belief in sad heaven often damages relationships right now. Those who subscribe to this belief feel they can only be happy if their loved ones return to the fold. Some react out of desperation. I've seen parents write their children from their wills, brothers and sisters cut off contact, spouses slip out of harmony into bitter divorce. These feelings also manifest in subtle ways through passive aggression, quiet bitterness, or loss of vulnerability and trust. These reactions stem from the fear that an eternity of sorrow is worse than happiness right now. The stakes are high. Members fear they must bring their loved ones back into the fold or suffer eternally. Now, he says, in my opinion, this fear carries incredible risk. We can't be certain about what happens after death, but we can be certain about what happens before death. We're alive. What do we gain by souring our relationships with those who no longer believe the way that we do? Is it worth fearing that sad heaven is real if it makes us suffer now? What if instead of doubling down on our fears, we tried twice as hard to enjoy the time with our loved ones? Our intimacy with friends and family doesn't need to be threatened by differences of belief. There is so much that we have in common, regardless of what we think about religion. We might enjoy hiking in nature, reading literature, being an ally for people who suffer, participating in sports, listening to beautiful music, talking about ideas, or enjoying a good meal. The list is endless. As human beings, we don't know much, but we know we have life. What a tragedy it would be, then, to let our fear of the unknown ruin the relationships that our happiness hinges upon right now. As Mark Twain once said, quote, "There isn't time, so brief is life, for bickerings, apologies, heartburnings, callings to account. There is only time for loving, and but an instant, so to speak, for that." We can't go wrong by working to overcome our differences. In fact, it's likely the best way to find lasting happiness. And then a little bit about John Ogden, the author of this. He is the author of When Mormons Doubt, A Way to Save Relationships and Seek a Quality of Life. He lives in Provo with his wife and his two sons.
Amen, brother.
Right?
Yeah.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
And that if you weren't able to listen this week because you're sick or afflicted, that you'll be able to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really